cause myself so much sorrow. So I'm calling this time, can I be saved?
The radio. This is Tushar Mehta saying, big up to the number one station, the ruling nation. Give it to me every time.
Sing it up, mister. Hear what I say, sir. Yeah. Yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No, no, no.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back, Wild Bill.
Well, thank you.
This is Jesse G.
Wild Bill on the Mutiny Rodeo.
And we have some guests in the studio. I'm very excited. Let It Burn.
It's in the house, all set up.
Yeah, totally. We're going to have a live set for you guys here in a little bit. And happy post-Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, it's Thanksgiving. I forgot about that.
Sure was. So how was your Thanksgiving?
It was full of London broil. I wouldn't eat the turkey.
I had an amazing piece of duck and chicken. No turkey for me either.
Yeah.
No turkey. Maybe turkey is a dying.
Yeah, it's dying.
A dying
dinner.
Tradition. Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure. So there's so much going on in the world right now. I know last week while you were gone, I did a little bit on Gaza, and then we had a ceasefire on Tuesday.
Yes, we did have a ceasefire. Yeah, there was a ceasefire.
Which was really good. But I do want to mention that before the ceasefire, over 150, the final death count was 150 Palestinians. Over 150. And I think the final death count for Israel was only 4.
Oh, yeah, well.
And they were all military people, the ones who
That's
were killed.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, but over there in
Screw
Gaza.
The IDF.
Yeah, and here's something I just discovered, which I think is really interesting.
What's that?
The EU sponsored an Israeli weapons fair on the eve of the attacks.
Excuse me?
The EU sponsored an Israeli weapons fair on the eve of the Gaza attacks.
So were they showing their new Uzis and stuff?
No, check this out. The European Commission, it's, you know, Israel, he gave the closing address. And listen to what he said.
What did he say?
He said, quote unquote, he was, what did he say here? He says, using the August occasion to boast of how, as a youthful arms dealer, he was, quote unquote, part of founding Israel's defense industries, Perez said he was, delighted to see the innovative technological developments which are leading the world in homeland security, and expressed pride in heading, quote unquote, a nation with creativity, wisdom, courage, and chutzpah.
And eavesdropping.
And chutzpah. But can I just say, I mean, this for me is the ultimate, this is the ultimate example of what's wrong. Here we have Gaza firing missiles that are pretty much homemade. You know what I mean? These are not rockets that are made with billions of dollars coming from the American people.
No, they're not.
And then there's a barrage that occurs in response to those rockets that come out of Palestine over into Israel. And Israel has all of this money, and they have
Our money.
They have all of our money, and they have all of these weapons, and they're the ones who are present at weapons fairs, not Palestine. You know what I mean? So really, how big is the threat, Israel? How big is the threat? I do want to say something, though, that's, I think, a positive thing, is that a lot of Jewish Americans are starting to step up and step out, and they're starting to say enough is enough, and Israeli Jews are starting to step up and step out. They're just afraid.
It's about time.
It is about time.
Want to see what's going on in the world?
Let's do it.
Hello, I'm Karen Giannone with the latest headlines on BBC World News. The Nigerian military says there's been a double suicide bomb attack on a church inside an army base near the northern city of Kaduna. At least 11 people were killed and 30 wounded. The government of the Spanish region of Catalonia says an election dominated by the issue of independence has produced the highest turnout in 24 years. The governing nationalist party has promised a referendum on self-determination if it retains power. For the second time in 2 days, a bomb has exploded near a Shia Muslim procession in the Pakistani city of Dera Ismail Khan. At least 5 people were killed and more than 80 wounded. The Formula One World Motor Racing Championship has been won by Germany's Sebastian Vettel in the last race of the season, the Brazilian Grand Prix. At the age of 25, Vettel is the youngest ever world champion to win the championship 3 times in a row. Those are our latest headlines.
Wow, that's some good stuff, yeah?
Sure.
So we have in the studio with us the lead singer of Let It Burn, Tony Bonilla. How you doing, Tony?
What's up, dude?
Hey, Tony.
How you guys doing?
Can't complain.
Great. Wonderful.
I'm going to scoot that. Yeah, scoot it closer.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Oh, just a little closer.
It's not that. He has a muffin in his mouth.
I got a muffin in my mouth.
He's got a muffin.
So good.
So you're political. You have some views.
Pretty much,
on,
man. Yeah, pretty much. My whole life is dictated by politics. My own personal politics.
The personal is political, isn't it?
I do what I want.
Yeah, true.
Well, pretty much. I mean, that's
I
what,
do
that's
what I want.
That's pretty much the idea of Israel, right? I do what I want.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it really boils down to,
if you don't like it, fuck you.
Pretty much, you got money. You got a lot of money coming into these from you got defense contracting companies like Raytheon, McDonnell Douglas, Grumman. I don't know, Lockheed Martin Marietta. You got all these people that are, you know, lobbying to generate the newest technologies of optical lenses, missile brains, this kind of stuff, and they showcase it at these weapons fairs, and you know, you generate fear. You're like, oh, you got to worry about your neighbors, man. You don't know what they got. You don't know what they got. And it really boils down to the human defilement of mind, which is greed and fear.
Oh, absolutely.
Fear and greed, and you know.
I do want to go back to this idea, though, of these weapons fairs, because they occur, and they occur on all the different levels within the military machine, the military-industrial machine.
Oh, it's fucking crazy.
It's crazy, and it's a part of the problem in that they continue to manufacture. So if we're going to continue to manufacture these weapons, and, you know, we don't have a war to go to,
right.
they have to have a war.
Sure.
In fact, we were just talking about this. Military robotics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually one that just happened this month, November 12th to the 13th in London, and it was all about military robotics and the beginning, which I think it's been around for a while, right? But it's mm-hmm. the beginning of the unveil
mm-hmm.
of where they start to present these things to the public.
Sure.
And this was an inaugural event, and it explored what they call the fascinating world of robotics and its increasing demand.
My mouth is watering.
I know. The increasing demand to serve in military and to serve through the military. So what we have now is this next phase of drones, which is drones are still manned by people.
Right?
You still got people who are like, okay, yeah, that looks like our target.
Sure.
These are not.
Mm-hmm.
These are robots that are programmed.
Right.
Therefore,
autonomous weapons.
But there's somebody behind it. They're programmed, but there's somebody behind it.
No,
there's someone. Autonomous.
No, it's a totally. They're called autonomous, unmanned robot, military robot.
Did
robots.
I hear somebody say hello, Skynet?
Like, exactly.
Game over, man. Game
exactly.
fucking over.
That's exactly right.
Well, Israel was actually the IMI were the or Israeli military industries were the ones that you've heard about the corner shot.
Tell us about it.
It's a weapon that is you can hook a handgun up to it and turn the front of it around to shoot either left or right, and it's got a camera mounted sight on it. You can see it, and then in hostage situations, quote unquote, I'm making the quotes. You guys can't see it, but I'm making the quotes that you can shoot around corners
with it.
Yeah, and so that was the beginning of this whole technological electronic advance in weaponry and whatnot. And then you got like the Predator missiles. You've got the Predator drones. You've got these little tank things that have helped the demolition in the army, like the DO guys, and help disarm bombs and whatnot, which is, you know, that's applicable for that. Like, if you have a bomb, you need to disarm it, cool, that's great, whatever. But to put a automatic assault rifle on this thing and run it around somebody's town and start shooting people in the streets, it's like, come on, man.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
This conference, they were seeking to encourage discussion on the issues of building a fleet of armed robots and utilizing them for fighting.
So RoboCop is coming true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Right?
But they're saying, yeah, we want to talk about, you know, there's discussions and debates around the ethical and legal implications. But here's the thing that I think is really funny is I don't think that those are actual discussions. I think what they do is they get around and they think about how can we overcome the ethical and legal implications?
Yeah.
How can we make this so that this is something
sway
that can
public
happen?
Opinion into that of fear, the boogeyman. We need these to fight the boogeyman because the boogeymen are more cunning and baffling than we are. And da 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 da. Yeah,
it's the next step. It's the next step in it's the propaganda machine, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
Here's our military, and now let's figure out how we can do it. I think it's the scariest thing in the world to think about, the fact that we're autonomous, unmanned robots going into warfare.
Oh, sure.
I would be okay with it if they created like a field somewhere that was already totally destroyed and it was fair playing ground in that all parties who were partaking in the war and the conflict
mm-hmm.
had their own little fleet of robots, yes. And then we go for the best of the technology, right?
Yeah.
Like then we just unleash them on each other. That's fine, but we unleash them into our cities, into our dwellings, into our towns.
Right. Do you know about the story that ran a couple months ago about the drone flyings between Canada and America, and then Mexico and Canada?
Yeah, there were drones right out in Oakland.
Yeah, flying drones up there, man.
Yeah.
Well, I was just reading this article, and they have a flood of applications to the FAA, and there are applications for drones by police departments, universities, private corporations, and even celebrity gossip site TMZ wants to get an application for a drone.
Wow.
Because they're spying machines, yep. Right? Because they're as small as mosquitoes, yep. And maybe even smaller, so you set them off into wherever you want them to go. I had a nice paranoid moment the other day when I thought I saw one. I was like, what?
What is that?
A drone. So now we can't even live in peace amongst the insects.
Well, the smallest one I see here is 3 feet that they're...
Oh, yeah. Isn't that cute? Oh, my God.
And they got a 36-foot
You know, I'd be totally down with this shit if they just put googly eyes on them. Like, you know how cute googly eyes are, right?
Oh, and those pink mustaches.
Exactly, yes. And a little fake cigar. Waka waka. Boom!
So the domestic use of drones began with limited aerial patrols, like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
But now with the Reform Act, it's called the FAA Modernization and Reform Act, and it was signed into law on the 14th. Mm. And it requires the FAA to fully integrate the unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, into national airspace by September 2015.
Wow.
So this timeline is really aggressive.
Yeah.
They're really pushing it. And who gets the money? Bill?
I just closed it. let me pull that. I was just reading
who
that.
Gets the money? The House members for California, Texas. Who's getting the money? Like, where's that money going?
That money is going to...
Manufacturers.
Right. Back to Raytheon, back to Grumman, McDonnell Douglas, Lockheed Martin, Marietta.
Right. But it's going to help us fight crime.
Well, yeah.
No, it just perpetuates the madness.
It does perpetuate the madness. The madness is already perpetuated. Ah! Bastards.
Especially here in the studio. Hey!
It's just going to be Skynet. 2025, it's Skynet. It's over, dude.
It's on.
We're going to have to get that John Connor guy. We're going to have to send you back in time before they're robots.
Have you met my son? I think he thinks he's John Connor. He's got a bulletproof vest, tons of weapons.
Holy crap, I love it.
Yeah, but you got to ask yourself, where did he get that bulletproof vest? Where did he get all those weapons?
The defense contractors provided it to him.
The little elf that comes down when Bill goes to sleep.
When I go to sleep.
One of the handouts.
Yeah.
So I was reading something interesting today about this guy, Michael Santo. Michael Santos, who was sentenced to 45 years for drug trafficking, and he's spent 25 years and 2 days in prison, and now he's out, and he's written a lot of books about incarceration, which I thought was kind of interesting. And but he does talks at universities, and you go to michaelsantos.net.
Let's tell them a little bit more about why it's interesting. He basically he shares survival skills with prison, with inmates.
How not to get raped.
Yeah, but not only that, but like how to act within prison while you're locked up that will better prepare you for actually entering back into society. I think I've had family who've spent years and years in prison, and then when they get out, it's really interesting. Like my uncle, for instance, he was in for marijuana and was in for over 20 years. And when he got out,
California?
No, he was in Alaska. He was in Anchorage when he got busted, and then he was locked up in Oregon. And when he got out, his place was so funny because it really still resembled the cell. Like his bed was really, really nice. It was a nice, comfortable bed, but it was the size of a... The size of the kind that you would have in your cell.
Right.
Everything had a place. He didn't have very much stuff, but everything that he had always had a place, and it would never moved from that place. And like if you moved it just a little bit, he would move it back.
Right.
So there's something that happens to people mentally when they're in prison, and I think what this guy does is he helps them break that pattern of oppression.
Yeah.
And He helps them break that pattern of oppression before they get out, so that their integration back into normal society is smoother and more humane, I think, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so it's an interesting thing. Why were you so interested by this, Bill?
Just, you know, it's good to see that people are trying to help themselves instead of becoming better criminals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't go to prison in the first place. But we make so much money off of it.
Yeah. No, no, there is a lot of money in that. Not so much money in treatment. The city of San Francisco slashed so much funding for mental health and substance use treatment. And it's been, and especially HIV and AIDS, has been like slashing back treatment for the last, funding for treatment for about the last 15 years. And it's gotten to the point where a lot of places have closed down. A lot of places are just, there's just no money to help people. And those people end up going to prison instead. So,
right. Yeah. 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 I know. You know, maybe we'll see a little bit of that, the prison, the money that goes. I actually, now that we brought this up, a friend of mine who I went to college with, Ocean, he owned Omshaw's Tea House here. Mm. Are you guys familiar with Omshaw's Tea House? Awesome tea house. I went to Evergreen with them. We were largely engaged in civic action and direct action and all these political stuff. Great guy. Comes to San Francisco, opens a successful business right here in the Mission. He got busted holding a bunch of MDMA and acid, and he has been fighting the courts, right? They basically just locked him up after a 2-year period. He was sentenced to something like 10 years in prison. Mm. And so he had to close the tea house, and there are all these people who are doing all this stuff. It is going to cost them over $1 million to lock up my friend Oshan.
Jesus Christ.
Over $1 million to lock him up.
That's insane.
Hand him that $1 million and let him open up his tea house and set the
man free.
Get me
some MDMA.
No, I mean, but you know what I mean? Let's talk about the money that's wasted. And this is an incredible man who is highly spiritual, who served the community tea and did have some drugs. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, really, we're going to spend that much money.
Well, this society's not set up for that. Our society's set up for consumption. If you don't work and consume in a regular fashion, you will be consumed. So essentially, if you don't suit up and show up on a daily basis and try to acquire a mass and play the game, then the game gets played on you and you get put in federal prison, state prison. You know, you become a consumer of mental health services. People have mental health issues and they're not able to always, you know, play the game, get a 9-to-5, do the, you know what I mean? And they get, you know, used and made money off of. Everybody's going to, you know what I mean?
Right.
Cash in on you either way, you know, either by your life's blood at work or through the mental health or criminal justice system, injustice system.
Well, yeah, once you get in the system, too, it's kind of a vicious cycle.
It's a revolving door, yes.
You're just sucked into it.
Yes. And
it's,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Speaking of consumerism, so the day after
Black Friday,
so which is also Buy Nothing
Day. Dark Thursday.
It's Black Friday, but it's also Buy Nothing Day.
Exactly.
I bought anything. I didn't buy shit.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I got a corset.
I bought a corset.
What a liar! Totally.
Well, I went to the Dickens Fair. Okay, does that count?
Yeah, it totally counts. It's a Buy Nothing Day.
Yeah.
I didn't buy anything
on Thursday or Friday. It felt good, and it was easy.
I put money in a basket somewhere, but that's about it.
You're listening to Jesse G.
Wild Bill.
It's a Mutiny Rodeo, and we got Tony in the house from Let It Burn. Tony, what's your last name?
Bonilla.
Tony Bonilla from Let It Burn. He's the lead singer of a band that we've got coming in here. They're going to be playing a live set here in a few minutes. I'm thinking we should go to a quick song break, get them set up, and then we'll be back with some music. Hope you're having a wonderful day.
Yep, sounds good. Sorry.
Yeah. rules if you wish to resist. From the fiery depths of the planet's core, the never sleeping for one, the reaching unholy stench of the manticore. Of a Scandinavian doppelganger. From the frozen depths of a forgotten fjord, the never sleeping for want, the beating unholy stench of the manticore.
If they can make a law, then I can break a law. If I can break a law, will the law break me? It comes tumbling down again, I can't comprehend. Is it destiny? I don't matter.
Break the law with the law, break me. It comes tumbling down again. I can't comprehend. Is it
Yeah. All right, so we're getting ready. We're going to have Let It Burn perform some live songs in here. They're getting all set up.
That's right. Let It Burn. Let It Burn is a local band. From Tony, tell us a little bit about you guys. Where are you from? Oh, bring up his mic, Bill.
His mic is brought up.
We're out of SF here. Pretty much just moved here. Like what? I moved here like 19 years ago. Everybody else is pretty much, I don't know, from SF. Yeah, there's not much more to say about that one.
And where are you from?
Originally the Valley. Visalia, what's up?
Visalia.
All my homies, all my cousins, my tios and tias, my abuelitos, mi padre. Yeah, dude.
So you guys began in earnest in 2011, and you're all musicians who've worked in other bands. Oh, yeah, obviously.
You and Sammy are both in The Sick.
Yeah, we were both in The Sick, and then Tonio was in Love Equals Death.
Fat Records.
And Fat Records, and Ronnie was in some pretty badass metal bands. What bands were you in? Sorry about that. I'm getting some buzz there.
That's all good.
A little buzz.
I think it's funny because here in your bio, it says that the first piece of the puzzle came with the drummer, and it always comes with the drummer, doesn't it? I mean, if you don't find a good drummer, then you're screwed.
Pretty much.
You have to have a good drummer. So, and your drummer out there, that's Ron Rousseau.
Ron Rousseau mm-hmm. in the house. Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then Tony came up, and so you guys have toured.
They were with Frankie Loyal not too long ago up there in the Sacramento shows. Yeah.
Yeah, we did some shows in Sacramento. We played with 7 Seconds not too long ago.
How was that? Those guys are old.
Amazing. No, seriously,
as old as we are.
I was almost crying in the pit. Like I was up front singing along. Like I had a moment. You know what I mean? It's like they evoke that. They still evoke that after what the drummer told me. He was with them for like 30 years.
Jesus
almost.
Christ!
Yeah, it's crazy. And awesome. They bring it. They bring it every time.
Are you guys ready?
Right on. So we're going to hear a couple of tracks from Let It Burn. You're listening to Jesse G.
Wow, Bill. It's a Mutiny Rodeo.
Everybody listen at home. Kick yourself over. Time to step up my game. Whoa. Everything you think about this insanity is my life between your ears. Plenty of fear. Think about that you're gonna tie to the man in attitude and gratitude. Practice compassion for another reason. Stay kind to myself. Whoa. Means I gotta give this to someone else. Whoa. The promise, the plan, who knows when? Whoa. Think you understand rather than be understood. Whoa. Don't believe everything you think. Nothing is an ending. Spotlight between your ears. Release the plenty of your fear. Think about nothing back. Practice. Reset. Good job, guys. This next one's called Locked Up.
Get out quick! Let us go! Be on time! The control! Be everything! You are great one! Locked up! You think you know? Think I'm turned up! You come your mind and you pick your room! Locked up! Better living is fine!
control. You're already dead. I got this. That's what you say. You don't need my help, man. You're fucked anyway. You're fucked.
Yeah, that was friggin' awesome.
Right on. Right on. Yeah.
Loving it.
Nice.
What was that first song?
Oh, that was called In It to Win It. It's about unity in the scene. It's about fucking, you know, showing up, suiting up and showing up on a daily basis for your bros, your friends, putting out 110% and being a part of the solution, not the problem. There's a lot of, you know, schism and bullshit that happens in the scene, and it's all about unity. It's all about showing up for someone else, being somebody else's friend, doing for others, service work, etc. Just being a positive influence in other people's lives.
Killer. Do you guys write all your songs? Are they all original?
Yep.
Nice. Is it a process? Like, who wrote that one?
I think we all cumulatively sat down and started writing that together.
Rad.
Yeah.
What's locked up?
Locked up. Just about, you know, you walk, you go, how much time do you spend in your fucking head all day long? And most of the time you're like in this little prison in your head and you're constantly mulling shit over, you know, living in the past, living in the future, not really being present 110%.
Right on. And in addition now to Tony joining us, we also have Sammy now.
No, Tony O.
Okay. So Tony O is joining us.
Very good.
Hey, yes. Come
Take
on.
Mic four.
Come on.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Cop a squat.
Yeah.
Cop a squat.
Take it easy, son.
Wow.
So Tony O, you left Love Equals Death, and you pretty much were the catapult for this band. Is that correct?
Yeah. I played drums for about 20 years, and I played in Love Equals Death. And when I left that band, I was kind of physically exhausted from playing drums, and then I actually injured my arm. I tore my rotator cuff, and I couldn't play drums.
You're like Dave Dravecki.
Yeah. So I couldn't do it in the capacity I wanted to. So I decided to, you know, I recorded some songs. I played all the instruments on it, and, you know, and I said, I want to get a band together, a positive hardcore band, you know, and that's just kind of got the pieces together. And I don't know. It's been a really cool experience so far.
And we have a call.
Hello.
Hey.
Frankie Loyal?
What's going on?
Hey, it's Frankie Loyal from the Toughskins.
What up, Frankie?
Nice.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, baby?
We got the boys in the studio. They're playing live right now.
Oh, are they right on?
What are you up to?
I'm up by Yosemite, relaxing with the family.
Oh, okay.
Coming up to L.A. in about an hour.
Oh, okay. You guys are all playing together on the 8th that I just saw.
That's right. And they got Sammy in the band now, huh?
Yep. Sammy's right here.
Is that Franco Delgado?
Yep.
Hey. Hi, buddy.
How's everyone doing over there?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you?
Here, come on into the mic.
Speak
Sammy.
Into the mic.
Turn up 3, please. Mic. Thank you.
There you go.
Hi. Can you hear me?
No, you're talking to 4.
Can you hear me, Franco?
Franco?
There you go.
Can you make sure we have lots of Mexican pastries and some enchiladas y carnitas, por favor? When we go down to Islos?
As long as you don't expect me to wash your car, we'll be fine.
Chavez.
I was just thinking about you guys. I was eating some spicy Doritos.
He was eating some spicy Doritos. Oh, shit. Oh, not.
I should.
Yeah, oh, no.
Right on, yeah. Man.
It's a good video, isn't it, Frankie? I think he's got a good chances. I think he got good chances there, Tony, of winning that million.
Don't forget to vote on the 28th on Facebook. It's called Doritos Crash the Super Bowl.
It's pretty phenomenal.
What is it?
It's Doritos Crash the Super Bowl on Facebook.
And it's a commercial contest.
Ted Hayden and I, this guy from around the rooms, he hooked it up.
It's the best one to date.
Say what?
And it's not because I know Tony. It's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's
so
perfect.
Yeah, December 8th, huh? That's right.
I'm
around the corner.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? What was the question?
What was the question? What were you saying about December 8th, Frankie?
Oh, I said, that's right. December 8th is around the corner. It's just kind of, it's weird trying to get a vacation in and it's not happening because the dates pop